Hello. This is Truth Be Told. So we're doing a little something different. You know, Dr. Akmal and I were kind of having a conversation and just talking about just dentistry in general. And, you know, him and I, we've been friends for so long. And we started just, you know, kind of going on. And he was telling me about the issues he's having in his office. And I said, stop right there. Let's just record this. And he's the only one I know that I could say, let's just record this. And he's going to be very honest. As you guys heard in the previous podcast, he's incredibly honest. And so that's what I liked about this. And I said, let's just stop what we're talking about and let's come on here so you can tell everybody what's actually happening in dentistry. And we're going to have it's going to be like a mini series. I want you guys to think of it like a mini series. We're going to have multiple things that we're going to talk about. This is just going to be really short, but I hope that by the time we're all said and done, you'll see like all the different things that people don't want to really talk about that's happening in dentistry. And Dr. Akmal is incredibly honest enough to just kind of put it out there. And that's the whole point to this podcast is let's have a real conversation about how dentistry is changing. You know, you hear people talk about recession, people talking about job security and so forth. And he's like, well, I own a business. I hire people, but let me tell you what the other side looks like, you know, and we'll kind of talk for a little bit and then we'll get out of here. So you guys don't have to listen to us babble on for too long. Dr. Akmal, what is good? What is good?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Glad you kind of got this going.
Yeah.
Walter made me buy this new, you got this.
You don't have to tell anybody that part.
Didn't like my voice last time.
You didn't have to tell anybody that I made you go buy an actual microphone because you sounded like you were like 10 feet away from everything. So I said, you got to come in a little bit better. And I said, well, how microphones are what now? Like $30?
Oh, I got one for $21, dude.
There you go. Stop complaining.
The Indian in me is strong, very strong. I saw the one for like $150 and I was like, looks just like the other one. I'm going to go with the $20 one.
That's it. That's exactly right. No, but you know, let's talk about where you are. You're in DC. Yeah. You have an office in DC. You basically bought a general dentist office, and that's something that a lot of people don't understand. It's why a specialist was buying the general dentist office, and so we explained all that in the last episode. So go back and listen to the last episode that dropped. But you now are responsible for this general practice office. And so you hire hygienists, you hire assistants, you hire other general dentists to be in this office.
Right.
And every time we talk, just like with anything, there's always a problem. Yeah. There's a problem somewhere along the way, right? And so you basically brought up the shortage of hygiene. So tell me, again, from your point of view, what's actually happening with hygiene in dentistry from your point of view?
So I think the main thing that ended up happening was like when the pandemic hit, I think there was a lot of hygienists that were like in their 40s, 50s, 60s, who were just like, oh, I love this office. I'm going to hang out here. They didn't really need the work, but it was just something for them to do for a while. They just wanted to kind of continue. I mean, it's still work, but like it was like hobby work. Like it wasn't something they needed to pay the bills, et cetera. It was just many of them were married. They had, and the vast majority of them were female.
They had checks coming in too. Remember, the government was giving out checks
Checks were given also. And so I think one of the things that happened was at that point, the moment the government allowed everyone to take off like a few months, I think a lot of people who'd been in the grind for like 10, 20 years who like, and I think the same thing happens with many dentists who like when they retired, they're like, I don't know what to do. They just keep working because they don't have any hobbies. They don't have anything else. But I feel many of these, a lot of the hygienists, they actually had children, they had like lives going on beyond that. And all of a sudden they had like 3-4 months off, maybe even up to a year off. And they started to reassess their need for how badly they actually want to work. Right.
Okay.
I think honestly, that was probably the main precipitating aspect of why a considerable amount of hygienists decided, you know what, like I'm good. I don't really want to work anymore. And so a significant amount of hygienists decided to just drop out of the workforce.
Right. But then they also, don't forget too, a lot of them when I was talking to them, basically realized how much more they can make per hour temping versus staying in one office.
Right. And I think that was the second thing I picked up on. Like, so capitalism is brutal. They do not care about what anything works. They're like, how do we make the most money out of the best way? How can we set this up?
Right.
And at that point, I think a lot of the temping agents started really picking up. And same as, like, I know my brother, he's a physician, and he tells me, he's like, for locum, I get paid 1.5 times what I get normally. But it's tough because you're moving around so much. He has a family. But I think maybe a lot of the younger people, especially now with the nomad night lifestyle, like people are like just flying all over. They want to live in a lot of different cities, etc.
Well, don't forget too, nurses were really in demand too, especially traveling nurses. I had
Right.
friends, I knew I had this one friend of mine who was a traveling nurse. And I
Yeah.
mean, when she said that she would make literally her whole year's salary in like 5 months, that's how
Right.
much they were getting paid. Like they were getting double what they would normally would get, right?
Yeah.
So I think hygiene basically said the same thing. Well, why would I stay here where maybe the doctor's expecting me to do this, this, and this when I could go travel around, do whenever I want to do it, however long I want to do it, and I'm basically they're at my mercy. So I feel like everything switched around. It went from I need a job, I graduated, I need a job, to now you need me.
Yeah, I think
Right?
it's
I mean,
basically,
did you see that too?
I think it was it's a base of supply and demand. This was one of those things that the ADA really like shot the pooch on, because like
What do you mean?
what.
What did American Dental Association do, or
So ADA
what
is
did they
kind of
have
in
done?
charge of like the hygiene schools as well. They dictate like, so the same as like, so I would contend, so it's the same as like with doctors and lawyers, right? With doctors, whether it's dentists or physicians, there's a limit. They kind of keep a limit on like, hey, we have this much population. Let's not oversaturate the market. Let's not undersaturate. If you have too many doctors out there, they're not going to have anything to do. Same thing that's happening in lawyers. They're just building out law schools, pumping
Oh,
out
yeah, they're doing the
lawyers.
same thing with dental schools,
Right.
but what do you think about hygiene? You don't think
Well,
they're
dental
building
school's
enough?
starting up, but hygiene, because the thing is, accreditation happens through ADA, and ADA kind of decides, but they've been paying a lot of attention to dentists. Unfortunately, hygienists are an incredibly important part of our of any practice because you
Right.
need them. However, we don't have that many hygienists coming out, and the shortfall that happened, I think, I would say right after the pandemic, when like a lot of hygienists decided, especially like some of the older ones, they decided we don't want to do this anymore, and so they
Right.
quit. So there was a huge negative point, a deficiency of
Right.
hygienists. Now
So
you,
now we have more demand than we do supply.
right, and so the
Yeah.
supply demand aspect is what needs to, and that's what I meant by like the ADA aspect of it is like. The ADA is the one who's supposed to be controlling, or I don't know if it is ADA, it's the C, what's the AC, ADA,
The American College?
ADEA, American Dental Education
Oh, okay.
Association. So they're the
So
ones
you're
who,
saying that they're the ones that
I forget which one though.
you think that they should have figured a way to increase the demand or increase the
Well,
supply of hygienists
I think it's
by
impossible to do in 1 year. Like, this is going to
right.
be a 2, 3 year thing, but like, I don't see them like pushing and pushing out hygiene schools right and left and creating accreditations.
Well, okay, here's a question. Whenever there's money to be made, I feel like there's gonna be a need for it, right? Why do you think dental schools are being built left and right? Like every year, there's like two or three dental schools that are being built
I think they're being
because they
built.
know that they can basically charge 100,000 and a dental student or some kid is going to pay for it.
Well, I think they're being built, but they're being built because there was a deficiency of dentists. That was
Oh,
one.
and there's also money to be made,
Right.
right?
And there's money to be made,
If
but
you're charging $100,000 per student
of
per
course.
year, I mean, let's be honest. And these
Yeah,
are
I
all
mean, you make
private.
money, but I would say that I would contend that at least with the with medicine and dentistry, there's some level of oversight, which they kind of
Okay.
keep level track of like, here's the population, here's how many dentists we have, here's how many are retiring, here's how many more we're gonna need. Can they like push it up 10, 15% to like get a little bit more money? Probably. But in general, from my understanding, is that in medicine, we kind of try to maintain it. Because what happens if you get
Okay.
too much dentist, same thing as what happens when you get too much lawyers, is now you got to find ways, find
Right.
things to do it, which unfortunately is happening with a lot of the kids who are coming out with like close to 300 in debt. And like now, now they have to figure out a way to work. And now there's dental organizations who are like, listen, you better do this filling in 10 minutes, and that's all you got. If it's a crap filling or a shit filling, it doesn't matter. And so
Right.
now they're forced into that kind of an
Well,
association.
okay. Hold on. I guess I got to ask a question. So you stated that hygienists started quitting at a higher rate.
I feel so. Like, I think
Right. And I agree with you, actually. I absolutely
and
do.
then
Because
the
I talked to
older ones who didn't really want to kind of work anymore.
And
Yeah.
I talked to a lot of hygienists who were just kind of like, I have carpal tunnel, my back hurts and all this other stuff. I'd rather go do something else. But why do you think that dentists didn't quit at the same exact amount of rates? Like, why didn't they quit at the same high rate as hygienists did? Then it would have been balanced out if you think about it.
It might have, but I think a lot of, with dentists, like, I would say it's how physicians and dentists and like doctors and lawyers, I would say a lot of the professionals work. We it's a personality that we have. We don't stop. Like,
So
I can have
you
like,
think that they didn't quit at the same high rate because they just don't know how to quit, or they just don't have
you
other
don't
skill
stop.
sets?
Like, it's just it's a mental attitude. Same reason why does Warren Buffett, after making like $20 billion, went on to make another 20. He didn't need it, but it's just like once those guys, so with a certain level of people, and it's not both men and women, it's not primarily men or anything to that extent, is there's a certain and that's one thing I will say, is that one of my mentors told me very specifically, and that's the thing that I didn't listen to, and it bit me in the ass multiple times, which was that you cannot expect your staff and your team to work at the same level you are. You're a different person. When you opt to be going to entrepreneurship, when you opt to go into like dental school, medical school, law school, these like high-end professions where like you just have to grind and grind until you get to that point, it builds something different within you. And
Okay, well, so then here's a question. A lot of people might be listening to and going, okay, wait a minute. You're telling me that hygienist wanted to leave the dental field and go do something else, but dentists cannot leave the dental field? Or do you think that dentists we just don't have other skill sets? I don't see a dentist all of a sudden becoming a plumber. I don't see a dent and then making the same amount is what I'm getting at. Does that make sense? Hygienists can leave hygiene, become a real estate agent. A hygienist can leave hygiene and become a nurse or something else. One, because they're always younger than we are, right? No, tell me, be honest. Most hygienists will graduate because it's like 2 year, 4 year programs. So they're graduating 21, 22, right? When we're about to start dental school. So they're out there younger, right? They work and they might say, you know what? I can go do the same and make the same doing something else. They can be office managers. They could be, there's so many other aspects. But dentists, I feel like they're stuck.
I
I mean,
think
do you
it's
think I'm wrong?
because I know. I think part of it is it's not they're stuck. Like, I know enough doctors who like do other things on the side. They do
No,
investment, real
hobbies are
estate.
different from
Sure.
actual
Well, no, but
careers.
I'm saying is like money making aspect. But the thing is, what I'll say is that I think our identity is so strongly linked in with our profession. I don't know if hygienists are at the same level. Like, how strongly so like, if I'm not a dentist, then wait, what am I? That's all I've been for my whole life. I've been a
Got you.
dentist. Like, I'm a doctor. That's all I do. To be like, oh, you cuss on these. So that, I think that probably has a little bit more to do with it. Why, like, because like when I get to like, let's assume I hit all my retirement goals and stuff, I could just take off and go to like Belize or like wherever, you know? But I'm not going to, just like most dentists won't, because A, their identity is hooked in, and secondarily, a lot of dentists, it's a business. They're hooked into the business. The business, like, once you're in the business, it's always demanding of you. It never stops. And
Well, but
for
then this brings me to another question. Is it really a business if it depends on you? I don't think Warren Buffett, if he were to pass away, Berkshire Hathaway wouldn't all of a sudden collapse. Yeah, the image may be different, but there are people that will be able to take his spot.
But
But
we're
if
small
you have
businesses.
Dr. Akmal's dental exp you know Bonanza, I'm sure that's the name of your office. That's
DADB, Dr.
right,
Ahmed, Dental
exactly.
Bonanza.
That's it. Imagine having that, right? The patients come to see you. You are the face. You are the provider. You're everything to this office. So how can it be a business if you think about it?
So I'm not saying not only that, even minus that aspect, I
Okay.
would say like I think small business is different than like largely scaled business where you're not
Right.
part of it. In
Right.
small business, like at any given point, like yesterday, what was I doing? I was fixing a toilet. I had to figure out, I went to Home Depot, picked it up because like the toilet broke.
In your
I'm not
office.
paying $200 to get I'm not paying $200 for a plumber to, I was like, I gotta figure this out. So because of that, when that happens, when there's like a whole like one of our cabinets, like some one of this is pulled too hard and like tore it out of the thing. So now I'd be like, all right, do I buy a whole new cabinet? No, I had to go online, figure out how do carpentry work, like figure out this wood glue and set that whole thing up. So when you keep doing all this over and over and over and over again, you become part of the business. Like the
Right.
whole it becomes your baby. It's not anyone else's, right? So whether if you're an associate, like my brother, he's a anesthesiologist and he's an associate, but even with him, he's gotten all his like money in check. But even then, he tried to shut down, so he only works 2, 3 days a week so that he could hang out the rest of the time with his kids. And he's like, I'm so bored. Like, I
Right.
don't know what else to
Right.
do with myself. Like,
Right.
anesthesia is what I did my whole life, right? So with us, because we get so, we're so involved in it, like owner specifically, and even the associates in general, I think like most of your life, even when you're outside of it, you only hang out with dentists. Hygienists
Right.
have friends, as it turns out, other
He's
normal
we're
people.
losers.
We are,
We're
no.
losers.
It's the way we are. Like any doctor you talk about, like who's your friends? Doctor, 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 doctor,
Right.
maybe lawyer, doctor, doctor.
Right,
Like
right.
that's because we're so, and that's, I would say like that's part of why like dentists don't really quit until they're forced to quit because they're just
So,
so
okay.
part of it.
Well, let me see if I understand you, and I want to make
Yeah.
sure I summarize you properly. The difference between, in your mind, the difference between hygiene and why they were able to quit at a higher rate was because they're not so, their identity is not so tied into being a hygienist.
And less investment. We drop like
Less investment,
250,000 in
and
4 years.
their identity is not tied into being a hygienist. Their identity is who, whatever they want it to be.
Not to the same extent as a doctor.
Right.
Like
So doctors'
doctor,
identity is
right.
tied into Dr. Aka, Dr. Akmal. We
Yep.
are known as that, and we're known as dentists. So that's all we know. That's all our
Right.
identity is associated with, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think it's an unfortunate part because like the I think most doctors do have the capacity, the intelligence to be able to do many different things. And that's one of the things I say, like if anyone asks about right kids, like would you tell your kids to be a doctor? Nope. Finance. 100% finance.
Right.
Why? Because the thing is many of us became doctors because of a good job, it was career, like it
Right.
wasn't
Right.
because we were in love with the
The
title
title.
all
Right.
that. And but once you're in it, you're in it, and you're so like as opposed to let's say an entrepreneur, right? Like an outside of dentistry, you do this gig for a while, see how it works. It didn't work out. All right, I moved to a whole different industry. We do that. Same with sales. You can jump from one category to another.
Right.
Insurance, you can do all kinds of stuff,
Tech, you can do all
but
kinds of stuff with
tech, same
tech.
thing. You
Yeah.
can move from one place to you can
Right.
completely move industries. So you have that mindset that oh. I was working with pharma, now I'm not working with pharma anymore. Now I'm working with Google. Now I'm not working with Google anymore. Now I'm
Right.
working with
But
whomever, right?
dentist is you're a dentist.
You're always a dentist. You always are
Okay.
in a clinic. Like there's only one solitary identity we have.
Got you. Well, okay, so let's talk about this now. You basically said that hygienists basically after COVID quit at a high rate. So now we have less hygienists, more positions. So what are hygienists doing now to basically capitalize on that? And how hard is it for you to find somebody to basically come into your office and work and stay?
Yeah, it's rates have shot through the roof. Like I
How
can
much are
only
you paying? How
I
much are
can
you
tell.
paying now?
So Arlington, Virginia, I've had a ad out for 75 an hour
$75 an hour.
for an hour for almost 2 months. I've not gotten a bite.
And is this and is $75 an hour, and is this a full-time gig?
I'd like it to be, but we don't even have part-time people biting on that.
Okay, so in a day, if they work 8 hours, they make $600.
Yes.
Times that by five, right? Because you wanted to work 5 days.
Yeah,
That's
35.
$3,000 a week. Times that by four, that's 12,000. So they're making
1,400 actually.
they're making
$14,000.
$144,000 to do hygiene, and no one wants it right now. You're telling me that you can't find anybody that wants to come in at $75 an hour, $144,000 a year, and they can't come in. Wow. So what do you think they're looking for? $80 an hour? 90?
So it's a buyer's market. You can demand it as long as people are going to willing to pay. And the thing is, now people are willing to pay. Because the thing is, I tried it for a while, and my hygiene backup got so big that I was doing hygiene like 2 days a week just to kind of
Right.
keep them up. Because a lot of the patients were pissed off. Because hey, I want to get my cleaning, and like I'm like, oh, I'd rather do procedures that actually make money. And like
Well,
they were
so
like,
okay, well then
no.
that's a question too then. So if you're paying them $75 an hour,
You're not making a profit anymore on hygiene.
okay, I was gonna add, that's what I want to know.
So
Are you actually even
hygiene,
making a profit now?
yeah. So previously, hygiene, you made X percentage profit off of it. And then on top of it, you were able to get new procedures from the hygiene, right? So
Right.
combination. Now you're either going like it just evens out, or you're going into the negative on here. But you need to do it just because you need to maintain an inflow. Now, how we deal with that, a lot of people are doing different thoughts, like how they can deal with it. I had one friend of mine, he's paying his hygienist almost like $100 an hour, but she's running two columns. She has her own assistant. She's like, boom, 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 just jumping back and forth. And she's willing to push it.
So
Now
and
I'm.
okay, well, here's a question, and this is us problem solving right now. The average dentist now makes, if you own your own practice or you're an associate on average, you're making 194. That's what the ADA says, right? But most dentists, right? Most associates are probably
Right.
making like 125 to 150, right? So why don't you just hire an associate to just come and clean teeth? They seem to be about the same price.
They won't do it.
Oh,
Ego.
yeah, got you. Because I was going to say, you can just have them come clean teeth. And
I
on top of that, they
tried.
could do some procedures when they see it.
I tried it. I'm not saying that there aren't other offices that have been successful. I tried it once, twice, and it kind of worked. The thing is, like, they're very.
And associate is for everybody that's not a dentist, basically hiring a general dentist to come in, clean the teeth, and do everything else.
Yeah. The
So
thing
no
is, the thing is
hygienists.
like, yeah, they don't wanna. They like it's just the ego hits them too much. There was a time when I realized when I was working fee for service that, dude, I was getting close to $400 for a quad of SRP, and my like one of the offices I was working, he's like, dude, why don't you just do SRPs all day? I was like, 'cause I ain't no hygienist. And now under insurance, I'm getting like $400 from Aetna for doing a CT, and I'm like, what the, So it's like the ego got to me at that point, and I didn't like because I was like, no, I'm a surgeon. I do surgeries, even though the surgeries pay me less, but my ego was enough where I was like, I'm not doing no SRPs, even though I was getting $400 per quadrant for an SRP,
Right. So basically
right?
1600 for the whole mouth to clean it.
Right, exactly. Like
And that would probably take you an hour and a half, 2 hours, we'll say.
possibly.
Yeah.
But my point being is like in retrospect, this is all like hindsight, right?
Right,
But
right, right,
all
right.
these the new docs are coming out. They're not gonna want to be hygienists. They just spend $200,000, $300,000 becoming dentists, and you want them to do hygiene, even though it makes financial sense.
The
They'll
ego's
do it for a
there.
while, and then they'll start feeling some way about it. And they're like, well, why can't I do this? And then now you gotta deal with the actual associate that you have, because now I gotta start. Because if I start feeding this hygiene associate, that's up now. The other associate's gonna be like, wait a second, those are my
Well, they can both be hygiene associates. So you feed both of them. Now they can't complain. They can both complain about being hygienists. Well, so that's so it's it's so funny to me. You said something that a lot, and I'm not sure if people picked up, but you said you ended up having to do the cleaning because patients needed you. They were backed up too much, right?
Yeah.
So why didn't your ego kick in? Why didn't your ego kick in and say, "Oh, what are you talking about? I'm a surgeon. Why would I do hygiene?"
Is that $1 million loan? That's why. The loan's got to be paid, you know? Like, I can't
That's
just
it.
like be like,
That's it.
no,
Because
I ain't
you're
ready to quit.
invested. You're
I
invested is
need to
basically
quit.
what I'm,
Yeah.
yeah.
Once you, and that's the same thing. Like, why am I changing the toilet? Why am I fixing that myself? Why am I doing all that? Because now every dime counts, right? When I was an associate, like, I didn't know anything. I actually had this conversation with one of my other friends recently, and we're talking about, hey, we should like make our numbers open. Like, hey, here's how much like all our here's how much we collected, here's our all expenses, and you see this is all the profit we have. But the problem is, whatever the profit is, they don't understand the amount of effort you put into to getting that profit. They just assume, well, yeah, he just comes to work, goes home, and of course he made like
Of
20%
course.
on that. Like, that's a lot of money he made, but they have no idea the amount of time, effort I've spent, like every evening waiting till late. So it's just, so the thing is, like, without having a good understanding of the overall thing, it's difficult for employees to, it's difficult to be fully honest with employees. Not honest, but like have full transparency, because they don't understand like why it is that you make that money. So that's the short reason why it is I did, is because I understood how much effort I was doing, and if I lost that, how much more effort I would need to do. And so I was like, I gotta at least keep this running over here, because you have to make sure that's running so you can feed the associate, and the associate can continue producing what they need to. So I had to kind of jump in and take care of that. Now, if I would have had like a whole column of surgery, would I have made 10 times as much? Of course. But it didn't matter, because for the business to run, you need to run hygiene in some way, like
Right, because
somehow.
hygiene feeds everything else.
Right.
So because the hygienists know that, then I'm sure they're going to sit there and say, wait a minute, they need me more than I need them.
Well,
Right. So what do you think it, what do you think this looks like going forward? Do you think it's going to balance out where you know how do you remember the Great Resignation? I think we did a podcast on this if everybody wants to listen. The Great Resignation was everybody was basically sitting out here going, if I don't like this company, I'm just going to go to this other company. But now companies have now reversed everything. When Elon basically said, wait a minute, why do I have so many people here? Let me fire 80% of my staff. And just use, AI and all this other stuff to do the business. And it worked. And people were like, oh, well, we don't need these technology guys. We don't need redundancy. Do you think that dentistry is going to get back to what it was, which was hygienists are in one office and are staying in that office and the demand supply kind of balances out?
So in England, they don't do hygiene. Did you know that?
They don't have hygienists?
They don't do hygiene. They have hygienists, but they don't do like recalls.
What?
You come in, they look at your mouth. Here's all the things that are messed up. We're gonna fix this. See you later. Let us know if you want to get a cleaning or not. Cleaning is not, because they're not here to be cleaners, right? With us in the US, we've kind of flipped that around, which is like we have to constantly be cleaning their teeth in hopes of doing it. Whereas in the English model, it's more so they don't, if you have a problem, you come in. Once you come in, here's all your other problems. Let's get to work. Let's take care of the actual dentistry, right? We're
So
not
you're
here
saying that
to polish your
preventative is
teeth.
not something big in
Preventative
England?
is not, I don't think, to the level, like, because I mean, of all the recalls that you, well, you don't do recalls, but like if you talk to hygienists, how many people really need to be coming in every 6 months? Like they're fine. Like, is it nice? Yeah, but I mean, like,
Breaking news.
no, but realistically, like, there's a percentage of the population that needs it, but if they need that much, they have a lot of other problems going on,
I
right?
mean, if you look at the ADA, you look at Perio, they basically talk about 50 to 60% of patients who are older than what is it, 35 or 40 have periodontal disease. So you can sit there and say, well, what about them?
Because nobody's treating them, because insurance doesn't cover any of it. It doesn't matter if they come for hygiene or not. When I give them a bill for like $4,500 to do three quads of osseous, they're just going to say, no, we'll just keep doing cleanings, right? Because they think, because in their mind, cleanings do something, and they don't
That's
do
it.
shit for these guys, right? All the people of perio were coming in like it's so
It's
that's
like
what I'm saying.
having a heart, like a blockage in your artery, and you're like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm just gonna go ahead and not drink soda.
Yeah,
We'll see how
exactly.
that works.
Right. But so the point is, like, there's actual disease that exists in the US, right? We can either aim for that, or we just run these like hygiene columns all day long, right? Which, like, yeah, we make there's some you make a little bit of profit on it if the hygienists weren't paid as much. But realistically, all that time with the hygienists, why not have the hygienists actually do scaling root planings for all those perio patients instead?
That's why hygienists were created. They weren't created to do prophys. Hygienists were meant to be the second hand of a periodontist. They
Right.
were never meant to be with general dentists. It's just the marketing people came out and be like, "Hey, why don't you just do it?" And they're like, "Okay." And then what
Well,
do they
because
do? They get the,
there's more
yeah.
general dentists, right? So why wouldn't the company
Well,
gear
that's
them?
fine. And they can, but the problem ends up being is like after you did skin and root planning, did it work? It didn't work. Did you send them out? Oh no, they didn't send them out. They just
No.
keep them in the same clinic for the next 6 years, and
Right.
slowly the teeth just keep going down, and eventually they lose their teeth and be like, "Oh, you didn't
Well, I'm
price
going to
right."
ask you a question that may be controversial, but I don't care. Do you think that hygiene in a general dental office is just so that they can find other problems that are more financially beneficial to them?
100%. Hygienists in a general dentist office are working significantly below their capacity. They're met, like you don't go through biochemistry understanding all the pathways of how inflammation
So
works and all this.
you're saying that general dentist in the general dentist office, hygiene is really just so that the general dentist could come in, get you in every 6 months, so they can come in and look and say, you know what, you need to fix this cavity, or I found a tooth that needs to be crowned. I found this, I found that. That's really what the main goal is.
So I'm not going to say it's based off of like insufficient, like as if they don't come in and be like, "What can I do on this person?" That's not
No,
what they
no, no,
mean.
no. I'm saying that that's a good
But
way to
every
bring people
six
in so you
months,
can
yeah,
keep
they're
them.
able to, yeah, sorry, apologies. Every 6 months they're able to see and they're able to pick up, and
Right.
it's a way how same aspect. Why do people keep emailing you all these different things? Because repetitive aspect, you'll be able to eventually get that treatment done if you keep like hammering away at them enough. The problem is that's not the hygienist's job. The hygienist's job was to treat periodontal disease, not to be a placeholder for the dentist to get his fillings done. That's not the job of a hygienist. Now, whether it has to do with like people can talk about, oh, it's fine, it's how insurance set it up, it's how capitalism works. Like, there's a whole bunch of aspect towards it. But the hygienist was never meant to be with the general dentist because most general dentists don't have a proper understanding of perio. So how are they supposed to direct the hygienist? And if the hygienist comes up to them and they're like, "Hey, I think we should do this. Maybe we should send them out to periodontist," and the dentist's like, "Ah, I don't know. Let's just do a scaling root planning because that's income that comes to us as opposed to the specialist." Except the thing is, if you do not have the wherewithal, and I'm not saying not, this is not to say that every dentist doesn't,
No one's thinking that. But
but the
again,
percentage
this
that,
is what we're seeing, right? And we have to
well,
be
you've
honest
seen it
about what we're
already
seeing.
outside, right?
Say
Like
again.
I worked at, so you work as a periodontist within certain clinics. That
Right.
was one of the reasons why I decided to purchase my own clinic. Because when I used to be a periodontist and I had my
You
outside,
traveled. Yep.
not a traveling, even before traveling, I worked within a perio clinic and I had doctors send me stuff,
Right.
right? Like at least like a third of the time I was covering their ass because like, dude, they fucked up. And they should have taken care of this way long ago, but I can't tell the patients that because guess what? They won't send me referrals anymore.
Very true.
Right. And
Very
now they're
true.
continuing doing the same thing over and over. Once again, this is not 100% of dentists. Like what the percentage is, I don't know.
Right.
I know there was enough dentists where I was just like, Jesus Christ, again, right?
So you're basically saying that most of the times, whenever you get patients sent to you as a periodontist, it's pretty much almost too late. Like that tooth is coming out. You're like, I always say that I'm the bearer of bad news for most of my offices. Like
Yeah,
I'm the
I
guy
think.
that they send it to. They're like, yeah, it's messed up now. Go this way.
Yeah, and I
Or
say,
they've ignored it for so
unfortunately,
long.
say it again.
They've ignored it. Like basically the office that that patient was going to has ignored it or has done the same thing over and over again for so long. But instead of actually treating the problem, which is the periodontal disease, they just said, oh, let's just keep you cleaning, cleaning, cleaning. You're spinning your wheel. And then whenever the teeth start getting loose, then they say, okay, now go to the periodontist. And then when you go to the periodontist, then all of a sudden the periodontist is telling you you got to lose your teeth, you got to do all this expensive stuff, where you're like, well, I've been going every 6 months,
Yeah, and it makes for a very difficult situation
For who?
for the patient
Okay.
because the patient doesn't know. The patient goes to general dentist assuming that, hey, this guy knows what he's doing, right? And now if the general dentist is primarily a restorative doctor and doesn't have the same level of knowledge as, I'm not even saying to the level of a periodontist, but sufficient enough to understand when to refer out, now you're maintaining the same patient in your practice indefinitely. And the thing is, because it doesn't hurt. And that's the same thing. Why do we see all these patients with recession all over the place? Because the doctor's like, does it hurt? And the patient's like, no, not really. It just looks weird. And the thing is, they haven't addressed the reason why it's happening. They're like, well, it doesn't hurt. Like, my job is something hurts, I fix it. Like, general dentists in my, from when I look at them, are more so, one sec.
Alexa, stop.
Alexa's punk won't stop. Anyways, was I going with this?
Yeah, you were rambling on. What do you think? You said general dentists in general are, don't have the knowledge.
I think like it's very simple, and it's not like 100% their fault. Part of it is they know that if they send them to me, I'm gonna cut the patient. Like, that's what we do.
You're gonna, like, do surgery on the patient,
right? Yeah. So they already know the moment, and like the patients are already afraid of a specialist. Oh, I have to go to specialist. What's gonna happen? He's gonna cut you up, because that's what we're supposed to do. Because like, what normal dentistry is no longer fixing you. And so almost I feel sometimes dentists, to keep the patient from going through the surgery, they're just like, let me try some other stuff and see what I can do, right? And what they end up doing is they're maintaining disease as opposed to fixing it. And the problem with periodontal disease is that it, because it doesn't hurt, the patient will be like, oh, I don't know, he did something. Like, he said I had disease, he did something, something is happening every time I go there.
Yeah, they do the
rest
deep cleaning.
They're putting me on this, they're putting that, they're putting that. Something is happening, except the thing is, none of it is effective.
Long term.
If the pockets haven't resolved themselves, it's not effective. And so my point always is like, hey, if as a general dentist you want to do SRPs, fantastic.
Right.
Are they coming back 1 month after to see if it worked? If they aren't coming back 1 month after, and after scaling root planning, you're not seeing them for 6 months until the next recall, or 3 months with peri maintenance, you're not doing the proper protocol of scaling root planning. You have to see the patient a month or so, 4 to 6 weeks out, to see did it work. Because if it didn't work, it's going to continue not working. Now you need to go to the next level. Same as with the cardiologist. Step one, stop eating salt and eat healthy food. Oh, it didn't work? You got to start taking this pill. The pill's not working? We got to put the stent on you. The stent's not working? Bypass. Bypass is not working? We got to replace the whole thing. You have to constantly move up if what you're doing doesn't work. And I think the big issue with peri disease in America specifically is that we don't move up as to like when. And I think the general dentists are totally capable of being able to take care of most mild to moderate disease, right? Mm-hmm. But when they treat it, there's an obligation to follow up. When you don't follow up and you just ignore it, and every time they, and now they're coming back every 6 months, it's still a 5-6 millimeter pocket, and they're like, all right, just put some rest and we'll see them next month. The next 6 months later, it's still there. Like, yo, it's not working, because we need to get that pocket down.
Do you think that a lot of people are afraid that they just charge the patient for deep cleaning, you know, arresting, which is like antibiotics, laser treatment, mouthwashes, and all this stuff, and then they're afraid to tell the patient, well, I did all that and it didn't work at all. So now we have to send you to somewhere else that's going to charge you more money. So wouldn't it be easier for them to just say, okay, cool, we did all that stuff, let's just keep checking up on you. Let's keep making sure, you know, like basically keep you on the spinning wheel, because if I give you the bad news that you spend all that money with me and it didn't work, that makes me look bad and I never want to look bad.
I don't think it's so much from an ethics point of view of this. That
no, I didn't say ethics. I said looking
bad. In essence, that is what it comes down to. It's like, for you to not refer out because you feel you fucked up, like that is an ethics issue. It sounds bad to say it out loud, but right. It is. But I don't think that's the actual issue. I think
so. What's the pro? What do you think the problem? Why don't they like send people out if it didn't work the first time?
I think it's because the marketing companies have been so aggressive with them that the only way you can make money is if you have hygiene running this much. The hygiene has to be doing 2-3 SRPs a day. They have to be doing this, because the marketing companies have showed them how to be capitalists instead of doctors.
So you said marketing company, or is it the companies that sell the laser arresting and all that stuff?
Yeah, the marketing from these companies, right?
Because so it's the companies that sell the products
from
to them.
Let me restate that. You're right.
Yeah.
So they, if they push them and they're like, Even when I was working in General Dentist's office, like we would have like the laser companies come in, try to sell the laser to them. I'm like, dude, you don't understand what an ND YAG versus like erbium laser is. Like, what are you doing? And they're like, yeah, but they said I can make like $2,000 on every SRP I'm doing. And I'm like, well, no, that's not how this works. You need to understand why you're doing this. But like the general dentist was so excited and they bought like a $200,000 laser,
And
right?
so if you buy a $200,000 laser, you need to pay that laser off by
Exactly.
doing more procedures that
Right.
involve the laser.
And so then it comes up being, and then like, what do they tell them? They're like, hey, patients don't like having surgery. They much rather just have you do laser. Okay, does the laser work? Not according to the American Parallel Association. AAP has some very specific guidelines, and you can go to their website and read it and see what they say about the lasers. I'm not saying it doesn't work in all instances. Some doctors have achieved fantastic results. But, and this is more so my issue with lasers, not everyone else's. But the thing is, if all the companies are telling you, yo, you're going to make all this money, and we're in a position or an area where consistently insurances are just cutting down their prices right and left, and nobody's saying anything about it, doctors are going to have to find this is where capitalism come into play, right? So in America, we always have a fight between capitalism and like the ethics of the doctor, and like how, at what level does a doctor need to work versus like, I gotta pay off this loan and I
Okay,
gotta.
well, let me ask you this then. Someone might listen to this and say, well, he's biased. He's a periodontist. Of course, he doesn't want the general dentist to do the work and stuff like that because that's money that he's not getting. What do you say to that?
I say the same thing I tell my general dentists who are doing endo. I'm like, try it. If it doesn't work, then it goes to the specialist. If you can't fix it, you send it to the specialist. If you feel you can do it, do it. But if you can't, you need to send it to specialist. And then when it goes to specialist and they may, if there's a big fuss, you take the hit because you tried doing it and you took their money and now you got to give it back to them, right?
Do you think that because general dentists have hygienists in the office, that they're doing the deep cleaning and everything else, and they're not really sending out as much, do you think that the specialty of periodontics is going to suffer in the long term?
I don't think so.
So you think that the specialty of periodontics is always going to be here?
Yeah, I think all the specialties will be here. All that's going to happen is we're going to start resetting, structuring. So the specialists are only working in large groups, and only rich people get access to good care. And poor people don't get access to that kind of care. It's just that simple.
So you're basically saying that it's almost like the same kind of health system that is happening in Europe, where you can pay for private hospitals and doctors and so forth, or you can go to an insured practice,
Well, not so much from
government run.
no. Well, I'm saying in from the perspective of like the people who understand, the people who are already knowledgeable, who understand their specialties. That hey, John, they're going to go to the doctors who charge fee for service practices, and those doctors know that they can't mess up, so they'll have their group of specialists that work together, right? Which means that if you're going to be the people who are going to be paying insurance prices are the ones who are going to suffer the most. Because they're going to be, because most of, like for a company to work, they will, like, especially now that you got all these major corporations coming in and running it, and all they know is like, wait, can a general dentist do the same procedure? Yes or no?
Yes.
Legally, yes, they are.
Yes,
Legally,
they can. Yep.
anything they can. Guess what? We have to pay, we can pay the general dentist less, right? And they're doing the same procedure. The patient knows they're getting the same procedure, but is the same procedure as effective as if the specialist did it? Those are two very different questions, and a normal person does not know the difference.
So a normal person doesn't really it, they just know that the dentist said, "Hey, I can do the same kind of work that a specialist can do." But the general population doesn't understand whether they don't understand quality. They don't understand that
Right.
there's levels to this.
Yeah. So as
Gotcha.
long as, and since the general population does not understand quality, and the vast majority of them assume like, well, I'm just supposed to lose teeth as I grow older. That's just part of
Right.
life, as
That was
opposed.
something that a patient said to me last week
Yeah.
that, oh, I'm supposed to lose my teeth, so just take it out. And I was like, that's not
Exactly.
normal. That's not true. You're not supposed to lose your teeth when you get older. That's not how it works. I mean, our diet, our Western diet isn't helping anybody. Let's keep it 100. Like we're eating way much more candy. We're biting into stuff that we shouldn't be biting into. You know what I mean? And so I'm seeing a lot more cracks and stuff like that, but we're also a lot more stressed. Did you know I was actually, so I'm doing my research for this lecture I'm going to be given, if you haven't already heard from Leroy, which he wasn't on because we just wanted to kind of test this, but there's been an increase in the amount of antidepressants, 63% increase since 2020 when COVID happened. Post-COVID, they've increased the amount of prescriptions, okay, that were given out for antidepressants. So now we have and the funny thing is, antidepressants have been associated with bone deficiencies, so weaker bone, which has been associated with periodontal disease, which has been
Ooh,
associated
money.
with dry mouth. Thank you, pharmacist. Which
Yes.
which has been associated with bone loss.
Yeah.
So do you see what's happening? We're basically, we have a society, and this is just based in America, society of more depressed people who are taking more medication, which is then causing periodontal gum disease. And now we're doing this. We're going in a circle. And everybody just wants you to get their teeth cleaned. And that's it. And I think that's that connection that you were talking about. People aren't understanding what's causing the problem. They're not treating the root cause. They're just saying, let me fix you, right? Your car comes in and it's making noise. It's like, oh, replace the engine. Well, but how did we get here? Why is my car making this noise? Oh, don't worry about that. Just let's go ahead and replace this. But you got to tell me what so I don't do it again, you know?
And so I actually run into this even when I'm working with patients. And so I've had at least two or three patients get very upset at me and write me reviews purely because I try to explain them the concept between a thick tissue biotype and a thin tissue biotype that's genetically based, that people from, East Asian, Northern European have this thing. And people and the person was like, oh, what? So you're saying just because I'm Irish, this is what's happening to me? I'm like, well, kind of, yeah, but like not 100%. But like it's your genetics, like it does play a part. But like even trying to explain to them that aspect of it, they take it personally, right? And so I think that I don't know if it's a US-based thing, if it's a West-based thing, but the fact that I think a lot of people don't really want to hear anything, like most people assume they know everything about everything. I'm part
Patients,
of that person, just in general.
dentist, who thinks that they
Patients,
knew? Patients, okay.
just people in the States in general, right? Like they don't want to hear, like anytime you say something that's contrary to their view or something, it doesn't matter who it's from, they become defensive immediately. As well as, how do you know? Let me go and Google this. Like that level of trust no longer exists
So, do you
between.
think that that's why a lot of patients aren't being sent to the specialist? Because how dare you tell them that there's a pro that they have a problem? Why not just say, let's keep it going and let's bring you back in every 3 months and act like what we're doing is working? Do you think that this is now patients' faults?
I think there's a certain percentage of patients who want to dictate their treatment, and a
Right.
certain percentage of doctors, they're just like, all right, whatever.
And do you think
That's
that patients, or do you think the doctors are more afraid to upset patients so they don't get the bad review? So let's just keep it,
100%.
you know, keep it going, keep the facade going, keep the charade going for as long as we possibly can.
Yeah, I think it's the whole Yelp thing that's happening in dentistry now, because like everyone's going based on reviews.
Right.
And so every dentist trying, like, what can I do to make them happy? Like, if I tell them it's going to be this expensive treatment, they'll get mad at me. And you've seen the reviews, like, I can't believe he was going to charge me this much for that. Like, how do you know what the actual rate is? You have no clue.
Right.
You just know that you don't want to pay that much money.
Right.
And so, or like, oh, he's telling me I have to go to special. Like, there's like 100 different things.
Right.
The problem is with medicine, you can't bring that into the same realm of, capitalism as a restaurant is.
Right. Well, okay, let's do this. Let's stop right here, right? Because I feel like we can go on for like 5 hours, right?
Thought
So
we were going
what?
to talk about recession. Like I had my pictures
Oh,
up.
shut up. You know darn well the second you start talking and complaining that you're not going to even focus on what we're supposed to be talking about. Anyway, right? We will get to that. But you know, in the end, I want to see, right? So if we get good feedback on this, then we'll just keep going with kind of, I don't want to call it exposing dentistry. But it's what it sounded like we did. You know what I mean? We basically told, we talked to people, just listen. And if you listen, you basically got a lot of things out of this, right? You got a lot of, hey, you need to educate yourself. You need to ask questions. You need to understand that business is being driven by marketers for companies is being driven by patience and their lack of knowledge. It's been driven by, fear for being for dentists so that they're not disliked. It almost, listening to myself talk right now, I feel like it's like high school, right? You want to be the popular kid. And this is what this is all it becomes. Like the popular kid never really likes everybody. Everybody likes them. They never really want to be deep with anybody, right? It's all superficial. And that's, are we saying that that's where dentistry's gotten to, where we're all just very superficial and we're trying to not upset anybody?
Yeah, I think there's like we spoke about a whole bunch of things. Dentistry in America is significantly more complicated because of insurance, the way it
Right.
works. Secondarily, just the how people in general are who want to dictate dentistry.
They want it
Then it
now.
is like, right. And then it's just like the influx of capitalism into it, which is like most doctors
Corporations.
don't want to do that. Well, whether it's corporate, well, corporate is like that's the newest thing that's come in, and
Right.
that's just gonna be a
Right.
whole different aspect. Let's see what
Yeah.
happens with that. But like the other aspect ends up being is just the amount of direct marketing that companies do to patients, whether it's in medicine or this, like. You remember all those? I mean, I don't see them as much often, but there was always some lady riding a horse about her tampons or something like that, right?
I
Like
have
something.
no clue what kind of commercials you were watching.
No,
I
it was
don't
always like
remember that.
something
I'll be
like,
honest
"Hey,
with you, I don't remember that.
use this birth control. I can ride a horse on the beach," and everyone's like,
Why
"I
are you
want
riding a
that."
horse? What does that do? Okay,
No, what I was trying to say is, okay, let me
let's
explain.
stick to dentistry,
Okay,
please,
so my
before
point that
people
I was trying to
stop listening
explain.
to us.
Okay, I know. The point that I was trying to explain were all these women decided that, hey, I want to look like that lady on there, so I want this specific birth control, right?
Okay.
And they went to the doctors and they told doctors, I want birth control A because I saw
Right.
the commercials. I love it. That's what I want. And they're like, yeah, that doesn't work with you. And they're like, how dare you? Well, fine, I'm going to go with some other doctor. And now the doctor lost the patient. The
So
same
you're
thing.
saying that now marketing companies, instead of marketing to dentists, are now going directly to patients so that patients now come in with, give me this, give me that, give me this.
How many patients have asked you about pinhole?
Oh, very true. Very, very
Right?
true. You're right.
How many
You're abs
periodontists, like
I agree
no
with you.
periodontist thinks that's a decent procedure. It's like bullshit, right? It really is. But like now periodontists have to go and get certified in pinhole. Why? Because patients keep coming in and be like, I want a pinhole. And you're like, but it doesn't work for you.
Right.
They're like, well, I'll
But
go
no,
somewhere
you're
else.
right. There have been a lot of there were a lot of my friends that I knew that literally would take that course because patients kept asking about it. You know what I mean? And to me, I just thought that was ridiculous. I'm like, you do realize that you can do the same thing with the Vista technique, and it literally is the same exact thing, right? But they're
Yeah,
like, but
what are
no,
you doing?
patients say that they want this. And I
It's
was
a
like,
prone
okay.
position flap. Like, but
Right.
that's my point. Is like they're like with that, whether it's Invisalign, whether
Right,
it's
that is true.
laser treatment, whether it's like a slew of other things. Like they've seen it, and now especially now YouTube and everything's blowing up. We're probably part of the problem now. But you got all these dentists being like, so and so technique is the greatest technique. You should come and
Right.
check it
Well,
out
we
because I
yeah.
know this technique.
Well, let's stop here because maybe next time we can talk about the world of influencer dentistry because that's another discussion we can have.
Influencer dentistry.
Yeah, let's talk about that, and then maybe one day we'll get to your lecture on recession because no one cares.
Actually taking care of patients. You just want to say bitch about dentistry. I'm good with that also.
That's it. Let's just complain about dentistry and we'll teach them later. All
Yeah,
right, let's go ahead and cut it off here, but we'll come back. If everybody wants us to continue, we'll continue. If no one wants us to continue, we'll stop. This is it. This is a test. This is a test.
wait, you said we can still do this.
Yeah, no, this is no. If people don't want it, I can guarantee you we're not doing this again. I'm very sensitive.
You just
I
made this up
care what
just for
people
fun.
want. I care what people think about me. Actually, I don't. It's
Right,
okay.
man.
Yeah. Anybody that knows me knows I don't care. Anyway, but no, I think this should be fun. Let's see what people say. I hope that they got something out of this, despite all the rants and everything and directional changes. I hope people got something out of this. So, man, let's do this again. Let's do this again.
Yeah, no, it was fun, man.
Yeah, man, let's do it. Thank you for listening to this episode of Tooth Be Told. The opinions on this episode are just that, our opinions. please consult your dental professional before taking any action with your dental health. If you have any questions about anything you heard on this episode, please contact us at Real Dentist with an S. That's R-E-A-L, dentist with an S at gmail.com. We would be very happy to return any message that we receive because we love the communication that we have with our listeners.